This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
You know, fake news is a problem when somebody just makes something up. But that's usually the kind of stuff that we can figure out pretty quickly. When fake news comes from the highest levels or government sources, that's when it's a real problem. The new confidential sensitive source report that was apparently given to the president and Donald Trump and the media has had since August, came out yesterday afternoon. There's something really wrong here. I don't want to dismiss it, nor do I want to accept it. I want to digest it because it's out. Now, what do you do with it? What does it mean? And what does it say? You have an advantage today. You don't have just me, a talk show blowhard. You have Jason Betrill, who is with us. He's former military intelligence. This is the kind of stuff that he used to do. He says he's never seen anything like this before. And yet it seems all too familiar. We'll get that beginning right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Jason Betrill. We're talking about this new story that came out that BuzzFeed did not break. CNN broke. They broke this yesterday. It is a opposition research paper that has been floating around. All of the news media has had it since August. Nobody went out and reported on it. Yesterday, for some reason, it was made public by Jake Tapper, who is a good journalist, and a panel of good journalists who say they've been looking at this for a long time. And they came out and they did not get into the salacious parts of it. They were just talking about the cyber attacks and the manipulation of the United States and Russia when it comes to Donald Trump. We have Jason Betrill in because, can you give a little bit of your background just real quick?
Yeah, I was in military intelligence for the Marine Corps. I was on a maritime special purpose force that dealt with counterintelligence, urban intelligence, misinformation, a lot of things like that.
Okay, so when you saw this morning, I want to take this piece by piece, and you know, you said this is how misinformation works. And I said an hour before you got in, this is how the devil works. This is how Satan works. He takes a little bit of truth and then he mixes it with lies. That's how misinformation works. They don't take a whole lie. They mix it with truth. So you don't know where the truth stops and where the lie begins. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. So let's go through what was in the report. Russian regime has been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Donald Trump for at least 5 years. Endorsed by Putin, they have been encouraged. They are encouraging splits and divisions in the Western alliance. It does not say that Donald Trump was aware of that. It doesn't accuse him of being aware of that at this point. Do you believe that's true, that Putin is doing that?
Absolutely, but I bet you could say that about every major businessman that's traveled to Russia.
Agreed.
But the caveat is, did they have knowledge of it? If they did, he would be in jail right now. If he did, he would probably be in jail right now. But they don't have evidence to that, so okay. He's not in jail.
So far, Trump has declined various sweetener real estate deals offered him in Russia in order to further the Kremlin's cultivation of him. Agree?
Agree.
That happens all the time.
It happens all the time, and his people probably rightfully warned him about that, and he stayed away.
Okay.
And he turned it down, so that actually looks good
for him. Yeah. However, he and his inner circle have accepted a regular flow of intelligence from the Kremlin, including on his Democratic and political rivals. If done the way I explained last hour, where it's through a third-party operative, you are friends with this person, they have credibility with you, you don't know that they're being fed by FSB, maybe they don't even know they're being fed by former KGB. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Nope. He would have no knowledge. That's not the way they operate. There would be a random private investigator that handed him something like, oh, look what I got.
Former top Russian intelligence officer claims FSB has compromised Trump through his activities in Moscow sufficiently to be able to blackmail him. According to several knowledgeable sources, his conduct in Moscow has included perverted sexual acts, which have been arranged, monitored by the FSB. I'm not going to ask you if you think this is true, because we have no way of knowing if that is true.
Right.
Is that the kind of stuff Russia does?
I've seen that firsthand. I've been a part of operations where we try and stop that firsthand in Moscow. So, yes, that happens all the time to every political person that goes to Russia, and especially big businessmen. Happens all the time.
Okay. Dossier of compromising material on Hillary Clinton has been collated by the Russian intelligence service over many years, mainly comprises bugged conversations she has had on various visits with Russia, intercepted phone calls rather than any embarrassing conduct.
Sure, but why highlight Hillary Clinton? They have those on every, again, person that's ever operated in Russia.
Correct.
And the United States.
Correct. Okay, so there's the first part. I have no problem believing any of that. I think those are all true.
By the way,
so
is any
far,
of that super unusual? We probably do this many of the same things, right?
Good point. Absolutely. We do everything that they say that they do to us, we do to them.
Okay. Yeah. And I have no problem believing any of this, that so far that they are trying to do that and have tried to do that to Donald Trump. I do not accept, you know, they said that he went to the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, this is how crazy this is. He went to the Ritz-Carlton. He found out that he was staying in the presidential suite, and Michelle and Barack Obama had just stayed there. And so he, quote, wanted to defile the bed. And so he brought prostitutes in to have a golden shower party that he watched. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that at all.
I don't even think there's even a reason to entertain believing it at this point.
I don't think so either.
It's so thinly sourced and 19th hand information.
There's no way to prove that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
The only way you're going to prove it is it says the FSB has tape so they can blackmail. What would be the advantage of releasing that kind of story, even if it's untrue, Jason? Especially if it's untrue.
Well, there's no reason that this should ever made it to light anywhere. I mean, so this was released as part of opposition research. I have opposition research papers for you as your chief researcher that I would never show you because you would laugh me out of the building because most of it's just rumor and just something we're looking into. If I would have done this in my former capacity as an intelligence officer, I would have gotten busted down and probably kicked out of the job forever introducing something that we're researching because most of it's rumor. Most of it's rumor. There's something called, it's a joke, it's called RUMINT, rumor intelligence. They have human intelligence signals, SIGINT. Mm. Rumor intelligence is a joke. It's like if it goes under the umbrella of RUMINT, you never bring that to anybody higher. It's just something you're looking into. This is so unprecedented that even a hint of this made it to the president, but then was released to the public.
There are so many stories like that about Glenn. He was arrested in Baltimore for drunk driving.
And you were with me
he
in Baltimore.
Killed
the whole
a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's just, all kinds of stuff.
And
out
it's
there.
All nonsense. Yeah,
she was clearly 10, but still, I think. But let me ask you this, though. When you have someone who is saying outwardly that Russia did not, Russia, they're the good guys, they're not helping, they're not going after us, they are not trying to influence us. They have no. So the case being made to Donald Trump and to the president in this particular case was, hey, they really did try to manipulate this election, right? That's the case being made. Not the case that he actually went to this hotel and defiled a bed, but the case is they actually did try to manipulate you. Here's evidence of them trying to manipulate you. Not evidence that the stuff is true in the report, but just that the report exists and this is what they were circulating. If that, on that level, that is, I think, viable information to bring to the president and to Trump. Trump should know what Russian sources are circulating about him, even if obviously it's completely untrue.
Agree or disagree?
Well, I would agree that he should, Well, no, I struggle to agree with it because it depends on how reliable the said sources are.
Okay, so MI6, MI5 is like Homeland Security, FBI, and MI6 is CIA.
Right.
Okay. What's MI3? We'll get to that later.
That's a Mission Impossible.
So I think it's the guy who gathered this intel is former MI6. Supposedly, the United States has used his information before. He's always been reliable, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the source. That's where this came from. Why would we be quoting the work of a English operative who is no longer a part of MI6? Why wouldn't we take the guy who's no longer a part of MI6, take his information, then verify it through our own sources? And then go to the president and say, look, there's a bunch of rumors out there, but we've checked into them. These are the important things that have a semblance of truth to them that we could verify. Why would any of this be out?
This is not the way. There's questions because this is not the way it's usually done. The intelligence community would never quote a former MI6 operative. They would, for one, he would be source. He would be a CIA source that we would work just the same way we would work a Russian source or whatever. That just bringing him up that he is a credible former MI6 operative is highly unusual. I can't think of a time that we would even do that.
But I think this is why this story is so freaking convoluted, is that they didn't even, it was not included in their intelligence report, right? The MI6 information, that was opposition research done by other political campaigns who used this guy who was supposedly credible and is reported as credible.
So
this is the stuff he went out there to try to find bad information about Donald Trump. And the credibility level here is not whether the events occurred. The credibility is, did this come from Russian sources that were filtered from the government? That's what they believe is credible about the information. Not that he did these things, but that they came from Russian government sources. The rumors, the lies, let's call them lies. I'm completely comfortable calling them lies. The lies about him having prostitutes came from Russian sources, and that's the information they deem credible here. And I think that's an important distinction.
Not the information,
right,
but the fact that it came from Russia.
Right. The people who were spreading it were people known to have associations with the Russian government and the FSB.
What do you think of that, Jason?
Well, no, I agree. And I think that this is so unprecedented that I believe that, and you hit it the nail on the head like a couple breaks ago, that this is not the way it's done. Mm-hmm. This would never get to their ears unless they could actually put it in the actual intelligence report and say, like, this is verified information. Right. It's actually so verified. Like, some of this stuff is so explosive. We'd be like, we've got the FBI knocking on Donald Trump's door right now to take him to jail. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much when it would go to him.
Yeah, but, because this stuff that is in this report, these guys are candidates for the electric chair.
Yeah.
I mean, the three people that they name in this, one of them not being Donald Trump, but all of them working for Donald Trump, it's electric chair stuff. So why would we get this report? If it were true, why would we get this report when we always hear, and believe me, I've had it used against me in a court by the government, we can't give you that information because it's an ongoing investigation. Well, there would be an ongoing investigation.
Yeah.
You're looking at high treason. So what the hell? There's two possibilities I see. One, and I'd love to hear your opinion. One, Russia released this, and Russia's putting this in to poison the water even more in our country. To divide us and to get us yelling at each other even more and distrustful of our own agencies, our own intelligence, everything else. Two, our own intelligence agency is trying to teach Donald Trump a lesson. Don't screw with us. Is it one, the other, both, or something else?
Well, I think it's both. To go to point number one, I think that Russia has been actively involved, more so since around 2014, to, you know, kind of destabilize America. And it's happening, really. I mean, we're at each other's throats. The media has taken the small little revelations. Like, really, what did Russia actually reveal in the DNC hacks? A couple of stupid little things. That what? They're minor pay to play. Yeah. And DNC didn't like Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Whoa. You know, I mean, did that really influence? I mean, people that like hated Hillary Clinton hated her more. The people that loved her, they didn't really care. You know what I mean? Like, so what really did it do?
Nothing.
Well, it's causing all of this hubbub. And the media is taking this to brand new levels. Now, it's part two. The intelligence community is, I believe, and you said this earlier, I think they're striking back. You cannot call out the intelligence community, call them stupid, say that everything they're releasing has been lies, and it's been lies since the Iraq War. You cannot do that. If you do, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. This, I'm telling you, this is not how the intelligence community operates. This is not how they release information. This is not how they brief their hires. This was released in a strategic way, in my opinion. I think it was released in a strategic way. I don't think that they think this is going to upend the
his
inauguration.
They're smart enough to know, Jason, they're smart enough to know they war game as much as you do, as much as I do. They know how fragile America is. They know pulling us apart even more and creating this distrust of them as well is a horrible, horrible move. Remember, I learned about, I learned about the Bubba effect from them. The number one thing they were worried about in 2006, and they said, this is coming in our future. So the last thing they would do, unless they were just evil SOBs, is throw logs on the fire. So how could you say that they would do that? Why wouldn't they quietly do something to a president and say, don't screw with us?
They definitely chose a method that can be very explosive and volcanic. That's for sure. I don't think that they're...
So you believe that the... Because I don't. That the at the highest levels, our intelligence operation is putting our next president in his place publicly?
Yeah, I remember I said on I said on your think tank show not so long ago that there would be
you said this
reprisals
was coming.
For this. That we have not seen the last of it. They are going to strike back in some way. This is a huge way. And you know what? To be honest, I don't think they're done. I really don't, because a lot of this stuff, like I said, is alleged. And
what's the wreckage on the other side? What's the wreckage on the other side? You know they are chess players. What's the wreckage on the other side? Think about that for a second. Come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I find it really hard to believe that this is a U.S. government false report here that the CIA is trying to teach him a lesson. Do I believe that the CIA would revel in teaching him a lesson? Yes. Do I think they would make this up and release this? The damage it would do. And
this is not a lesson. They released rumors. The real lesson will put him in jail, and I guarantee you they have it. This is like, look, bud.
Are you a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden? What? I mean, that's what you did for a living. You are a spook,
this is what he does for his job.
I know.
These things are obviously real as a possibility, right? I mean, the one thing I'll get you to if you want to say it was not intelligence releasing this information, you can argue that, these reports as opposition research, before they were had anything to do with intelligence, they were being circulated through media circles for months and months and months and months. Media organizations had been checking into these 6 months before the election. So it's possible they had this the whole time and they just waited to release it.
Right, and so, but why
until after it was handed to the president?
Why would it be handed to the president now if they've had it for months?
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, we'll have some idea if the government takes this report at all credible on Donald Trump, because in that report it says that Russia
has made several deals on energy with Trump or the Trump surrogates. Where are we getting this? How is it happening? There's no reason to accept this information, and there's no reason to dismiss this information. It's just out now, and it is what it is. We have to use some logic. But we'll see if anybody takes this seriously, seeing that Tillerson is having his confirmation hearing today, president of Exxon. Let's see if a senator brings that up. If they don't, that speaks volumes about the credibility of this. Yaron Brook is here from the Ayn Rand Institute. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How about you? Good. Crazy times.
Yeah, I know. We had some plans to talk about some other things today that are important. Yeah. But first, I want to get your thoughts on this. You're a very logical, reasoned man.
Yeah.
We are living in a time beyond reason and logic.
It is, because reason and logic require facts. They require evidence. They require the ability to look at the world and know what's true and what's not, or at least have an indication of what's true and what's not. We're living in an era of fake news where you don't know where this is coming from, why this is being reported, who's reporting it. It's very hard to get your head around it and use reason.
Can I ask you a question? I have a two-volume set. I think it's actually in my office. I have a two-volume set from 1926. It's a reprint from the New York Historical Society, and it's from the committee on the committee looking into the conspiracies of the Revolutionary War. It was convened right after the Revolutionary War. They wanted to find out where all these rumors came from, where all this fake news came from, and it's probably 500 pages.
Sure.
So fake news is not new.
Yes.
It's always been this way.
Yeah, but
just different.
It's never had the credibility it has today. I mean, people are taking it seriously in a way they never did before. And generally, we don't discuss issues in a reasonable, logical way. This election, more than any other election, I think, was based so much on pure emotion.
Yes.
And what we're seeing today is the media. We're seeing our political leaders. We're seeing our intellectuals, our universities. Promote emotion as the means towards knowledge rather than thinking and reasoning and using logic. We don't teach our kids logic
anymore. So how would you logically look at this story and say, this is how we begin to untangle this story?
Well, I mean, you really have to look at what are the real sources. Without sources, it's really hard to untangle anything. But you also have to look at, okay, what are the incentives? What's going on here? And look, the Russians are bad guys. The Russians are bad guys. Putin is not a good guy. So, and I think there's some evidence to suggest there's a relationship there between Putin and Trump. Something is going on there. Trump is so adamantly defending Putin, was throughout the campaign, is now. There's some relationship between Trump and Russia. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it is. There's no reason to believe these particular allegations, but one has to be skeptical about what is going on, given how adamant Trump is in defending anything Russian.
Could it be? Let's talk about Tillerson.
Yeah.
Tillerson is a deal maker. Okay. What is our foreign policy? I don't know. We put a deal maker in, and he's best at making deals where?
Well, Russia and the Middle East. And I think much of our foreign policy, we are not going to be tough. With Tillerson there, we're not going to be tough on Russia. We're unlikely to be tough on Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states.
And you like Tillerson?
I like Tillerson. Tillerson's an Atlas Shrugged fan. He's a nice guy. He's obviously an incredibly competent CEO. He did a good job. I like CEOs. I like businessmen. Right. I think they're great. Right. But is he a foreign policy expert? Does he bring a principled view of foreign policy? I mean, maybe. I just don't know. I haven't heard anything to suggest he does. Look, Donald Trump is a pragmatist. As far as I can tell, there's no principle driving a Trump administration. And the people he surrounded himself with are mostly pragmatists. On a case-by-case basis, they might make the right choice, they might make the wrong choice. But there's no principle. What is America's... And granted, there hasn't been a principled foreign policy in the United States for a very, very long time. But this is taking pragmatism to the next level, because it's, usually people apologize for not having principles. these guys embrace the fact.
Well,
that
they don't.
Have
not. It's like to me. We've always said, or people have always said, I wish somebody would run this country as a business. You're now going to see it run like a business, and that's. We don't have the CEO of the United States of America. That's not the way this job works.
It shouldn't. We're going to see how it works as CEO of America. I've come to call Donald Trump the central planner in chief.
Yeah.
Because that's how he's acting. He's acting as a central planner. I'm going to fly to Indiana, talk to Carrier. I'm going to go and talk to the CEO of Ford. I'm going to be the CEO of CEOs. I'm going to tell the business world, I'm going to tell markets how they should run, how they should function. As if I'm the CEO of the marketplace. But that's central planning. And we know. If anything the 20th century has taught us, central planning
does not work.
And that used to be what Democrats were proud of. They're central planners, and Republicans pretended, at least, not to be central planners. They were for free markets.
Well, only
now that distinction is gone. They pretended. I know in
real
only life
after,
they didn't
only after Hoover, because Hoover was the last guy we had that was very much Donald Trump. He was a central planner. He was a builder.
Well, yes. I mean, Hoover was the last businessman to be president. He gave us Smoot-Hawley, which was the tariffs that drove us into a Great Depression.
Yep.
He increased taxes. He didn't decrease taxes. He was a terrible, terrible president. This trend, to a large extent, accelerated under Hoover, but it really goes back to Wilson.
Wilson
is the first president
to be
a central planner, to bring it into the United States.
You're plowing an old field. Let's plow a new one here.
Yep.
The GOP and what they're going to do with Obamacare. We have had years for this moment.
It's unbelievable to me. 6 years, right, since Obamacare was passed. They've been talking about repeal, replace. Okay, so where's your plan, right? You've had 6 years to put together a plan. The plan's not that hard. We've seen outlines of this plan in the Wall Street Journal everywhere. There is a plan out there. Find it. Put it together. It might be flawed. It might not be the perfect plan. But don't come out as babbling idiots and we've got a plan. Maybe we'll see. It might take 6 months. It may take 3 years. Who knows? I mean, this is really Republicans living up to the stupid party label. What they're doing with Obamacare right now. Now, on top of that, there are suggestions that they want to keep real important parts of Obamacare.
Yeah.
Pre-existing conditions. If you load pre-existing conditions onto insurance companies, they're not insurance companies anymore.
Right.
They're just Social Security-type companies.
Yes.
And they're subsidiaries of the government, and the Democrats love this. Obamacare was always planned to fail. The whole purpose of Obamacare was to fail, but to fail as we tried markets, we tried marketplaces, we let you have your private insurance. That doesn't work. So we have to have single payer universal health care run by the government. If Republicans play into that by keeping pre-existing conditions or by doing other things that are basically going to destroy insurance markets, they're just playing into the hands of the
what you're saying
medicine.
Right now is one of my biggest fears is that people look at whatever is going to come out of the GOP now as a conservative, small government, constitutional answer.
Yep.
And I'm not seeing those yet. I hope to, but I'm not seeing them, especially when it comes to Obamacare. When they fail, or God forbid, make things worse,
then
everybody will say, it's time to go all the way. Let's go Marxist.
Well, I mean, this is the lesson everybody learned from the George Bush years, right?
Yes.
If this is what small government conservatives are, then we don't want anything to do with that. And we got Obama, and we got everything that Obama represents. If this is what defending America means, going to Iraq and screwing it up, then we're gonna get an Obama to clean up the mess. So, yes, the backlash against Republicans when they do really, really stupid things is part of what destroys this country. And there's nothing to suggest that this administration is going to be significantly different. Now, we'll see.
Have you seen anything that surprises you that say, wow, this is good?
Some of their appointments are not bad, right?
Right.
I mean, Labor Secretary, I forget the guy's name, but seems like a good guy. He gets minimum wage. He gets some of these issues in the right way. Price as Secretary of Health and Human Services, I thought was a good choice. Price actually has a plan to replace Obamacare, with free market reforms. Why not just embrace that?
Right.
Right? He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services. But for some reason, the House and the Senate, and this is partially because Republicans are such cowards, they can't actually embrace a free market solution to anything. The one thing we will get, and we can guarantee this, right, is a tax cut. Republicans are good at cutting taxes, right? They don't cut spending. So the consequence is the next president has to raise taxes in order to close the deficit gap or pretend to close the deficit gap. But we'll get tax cuts, and that's a good thing, right? I'm not going to demean tax cuts. But if you don't cut spending,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Okay, so one last thing here. Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Institute, and one of the best critical thinkers in America. When we're looking at all of the things that we're about to see, what is the flag that you would raise up and say, we have to do this one thing? Is it a policy? Is it we have to get a handle on our uniting with each other, on fake news, on what?
See, I don't buy into this uniting stuff. I mean, we're not going to be united. We're split in this country. We're split 50-50. We don't agree. And I don't have a problem with the fact that we don't agree. There are clearly different points of view out there. I think some of us are right and most people are wrong, but that's the reality. There's disagreement. And I, for example, have always loved gridlock in Washington. I like disagreement in Washington because then they don't miss.
When I say uniting, I mean not tearing each other, not dehumanizing one another.
I mean, that would be nice.
Being able to live next to each other and say, well, I really disagree with him, but.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, I think what we need to rediscover to unite us and to do a lot of other things is what is America? I think we've lost that. I think in that sense, Obama's won. We have become another European country. In many respects, the American spirit, what made us uniquely American, what are the foundation ideas, the foundational concepts of what America stands for, the true founding principles of this country, that is not in the debate. Nobody talks about it. And this presidential, run was more than ever. Donald Trump never mentions the founders. He never really talks about the Constitution. It's not important to him, right? Those are principles. God forbid we should have principles. We need to rediscover what we are. What is American exceptionalism? People throw that out all the time, and they claim, oh, we're pro-American. We love America. But Donald Trump has raised that question up. What does it mean to be pro-America? What does America first actually mean? And unless you understand what America is not a geographical place.
It's an idea.
It's an idea. And the question is, what is that idea? And I think very few Americans today know what that idea is. I think that's reflected in our politics. That's reflected in our dialogue. Very few people know what the principles that this country was founded on are and what made us the greatest nation in human history.
Let's have you back and let's do an hour of just that.
Yeah, what is America?
What is America? Will you do that?
That would be fabulous.
Okay, great.
Love that.
Yaron, thank you very much.
And
Yaron,
the book is Equal is Unfair, right?
Equal is Unfair.
I'm sorry, I am sorry. I was not even told you had a book.
Well, I handed you a book not that long ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
With the
so
nice
sorry,
autograph.
Sorry, okay.
But the book is called Equal is Unfair. Horrible. It's available everywhere. And it takes on one of these big issues. What does it mean when the founders say all men are created equal? Does it mean what the left suggests, equality of outcome, or even equality of opportunity? And I argue, no. It just means equality of freedom, equality of liberty, equality of rights, equality before the law properly understood. And the whole idea of equality is a false god. It's a false god.
We have won! The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. Triple 8727 back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Holy cow! Stu has his own chalkboard on this Donald Trump briefing. We'll get to here in a little while. Also, his response. He's supposed to go live here right after the top of the hour stations. We will be taking that as well if it does happen.
And we have good news to share.
We do.
Sometime during the course of the day, Yeah, we got good news to share. Yeah.
Let's do, I mean, do we have time? How much time do we have?
I don't know, 30 seconds.
Right, no, that's not enough. We've got enough time. There's some good news that we have.
I'd like to be happy for more than 30
seconds.
Is there
a song that's coming on this?
There might be. There might be a song on the way.
Happy, yeah. Happy news coming up in just a minute.
And assuming this thing starts on time, we're going to have this press conference here in a little bit. Obviously, the story we've been talking about all day will be discussed. At the same point, the Rex Tillerson Secretary of State hearings are going on. Tillerson just said that Russia today is a danger. So he seems to disagree
with Donald Trump.
It's a very strange, this is a strange rollout, as you'd expect. But we'll see more here in just a few minutes.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.